So chapter 14, verse number 11, which talks about sattva. How do I know that I am in sattva? Sarva dvareshu dehesmin.
Sarva dvareshu dehesmin.
Prakasha upajayate.
Prakasha upajayate.
Jnanam yada tada vidyat.
Jnanam yada tada vidyat.
Vivridham sattvam ityuta. Sarvadvareshu. Sarvadvareshu means from all doors of the body. So we will talk about the doors of the body. Sarvadvareshu dehe asmin. In this individual, this prakasha, asmin prakasha, this light upajayate is created. So from all the doors of the body, the light is shining, is emanating. Jnanam yada tada vidyat. And the person, is the light means the light of knowledge. When that is happening, vidya, know that. Vivridam sattvam iti utah. So that this individual is has vivridam is predominantly in sattva. So when from all the doors of this body, the light of intelligence, the light of knowledge is shining and illumining the world, then you know that the person is in sattva. So as I said, these are the symptoms. What are the symptoms of a person in sattva? How do I know? Just as you go to a doctor and you tell him, I have high fever and my whole body shakes. Then I can't, it's uncontrollable rigor, and then it breaks and I sweat, then I'm shivering. And then I just came back from India where there were a lot of mosquitoes. Then, okay, with those symptoms, he will tell you, it was malaria. You're suffering from malaria or from an endemic zone. So similarly, these are the symptoms which tell us that I am at this moment in a sattvic mood. And how is it? From all doors of the body, the light of intelligence, Gurudev calls it seven beams of intelligence, comes out to illumine the sense objects. See, science always tells us that you remember your basic physics, they will tell you that the light from that tree comes to through my cornea, through my pupil, and then goes to the retina, and then in the retina the light is the image is formed, and then that image gets transmitted by the optic nerve and goes to the optic center in the brain, where the brain gets the knowledge of, oh, this is a tree, because it has in the past seen a tree. But Vedanta is opposite. What Vedanta says is that the light of consciousness within goes out through the seven beams to illumine the world. So the eyes illumine the world of form, the ears illumine the world of sound, the nose of smell, the tongue of taste, and the skin of touch. So see, hear, smell, taste, and touch. These are the five senses. And then the mind illumines the world of emotions. The mind feels the emotions, joy, sorrow, anger, hatred, love, compassion. And the intellect illumines the world of ideas and thoughts. So there are seven beams, the five senses, the mind and the intellect. And it is actually very true. Like say if I'm engrossed in something or I'm going through some stressful thing and I'm thinking very deeply and my friend walks by and even waves to me and says hi, and I don't even see that person, I don't even hear that person. The eyes are registering. And the ear is listening to the sound, he's saying hi. But I don't respond. And afterwards he says, what kind of friend are you? I even waved at you. I called you out and you totally ignored me. You say, no, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. I was thinking about a deep problem or I was going through a stress. So when the mind is not available, the eyes may keep on sending impulses. The ears may keep on, like the sound now. Some of you might not at this moment, maybe half asleep or... maybe thinking about your, you know, some family, and so I'm just talking, and so the ears, the sound is coming, but what is this guy saying? I can't. So maybe some of you are in that state, but the point is that when the mind is not there, no matter how much sensory input comes, it does not. So that's why it says that there are seven beams of light which go out into the world and illumine the world of sight, sound, smell, taste, and touch, and the world of emotions and in the intellect, the thoughts. In the Dakshinamurti Stotram, it is beautiful. The Dakshinamurti Stotram, I have recommended here many times. It is 10 verses, small little book, but has such beautiful knowledge. Shankaracharya was a master. You know, just as Midas, whatever he turned, touched, turned into gold. Shankaracharya, whatever he turned, whatever he touched, turned into beauty. It's amazing. He lived only 32 years, but the amount of work he does, it's like, you know, I've lived double, more than double the life. And what is our life compared to, you know, what he has accomplished? It just makes you ashamed, you know, to, but this master in 10 verses, such beauty he has written in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. If you don't have that book, please go buy it. That's one of the most beautiful books. And so in that he says, Nana Chindra Ghatodara Sthita Maha Deepa Prabha Bhaswaram Jnanam yasya tu chakshuradi karna dwara bahi spandate jnanami iti tameva bhantam anubhat etat samastam jagat tasmai shri guru murtaye namaidam shri dakshina murtaye. So he says, I prostrate to the Lord Dakshina Murti, who is within me as the guru. Why? Because he says, nana chidra ghato dara stita maha deepa prabha bhaswaram. Just as if there is a pot, a mud pot, and in that you put a light. You put a light, maybe a lamp or an electric light, and you make 8 or 9 holes. And now from the holes, the light is going out. You know, there is a dark room, and there is a pot, and there is only one light. But if there are holes in the pot, the light can illumine the whole room. So he equates this body with the mud pot, because the body is also made of mud, of mitti. So he says this light of consciousness goes out through the eyes, through the ears, through the nose to illumine the world of objects. Jnanam yasya tu chakshur adi karna dwara bahi spandate. And that's how through chakshu adi, so eyes, ears, nose, etc. And then what happens? Janami iti. That's how I come to know. How do I know? How do I know that there is a tree outside? Because my light is going and seeing the tree, or I'm seeing Ganpati or Gurudev, or I'm seeing the people, and I recognize, okay, this is Satish and this is whoever, you know, Carmen, whatever. So I recognize the people because of this knowledge I have. So janami iti tameva bhantam anubhat etat samastam jagat. And tama, and that Lord, that consciousness, it is his light that illumines everything. Tameva bhantam anubhati sarvam. You know, we say that also in the Aarti. Tasya bhasa sarvam idam vibhati. So it is that light of consciousness that is in me, that this moment I am speaking, and that is in you, that the ears are going out to pick up this knowledge. So that's what he says. Sarva dvareshu. So from this body, these seven beams of light are going out to get knowledge, jnanam. And yada tada vidyat, and the knowledge is clear. It's not cloudy, it's not dull knowledge, but it is very clear knowledge. And we'll talk about that. And that a person is in sattva. Another way to describe that, I read another commentary, is that we are in a city of 9 gates. Navadwareshu, you know, in the Gita also it is said that our body has 9 gates. Of course, 7 are on the face, 2 eyes, 2 nostrils, mouth, 2 ears. That's 7, and then the genital organs and the organs of excretion. So there are 9 gates. 2 are of course for excreting, but these 7 here, through the eyes, ears, nose, tongue and skin, I am taking in the knowledge. So they say, that how do I know whether I'm in sattva or rajas or tamas? It's a very beautiful example. They say, suppose there is a city of 9 gates. You know, and the 9 gates is like a fortress. So, you know, nobody can enter only through those 9 gates. And there's a fort and there are 9 gates and there is a guard stationed at each gate. And so he checks people, okay, you know, I allow this one, I don't allow. And the mayor is a very wise person and he tells each guard, look, only people who have a good record, who are clean, who are honest, who don't have a criminal record should be allowed. Anybody who has any kind of problem, I do not want him in my city. So the guard decides, okay, this person is good, he can come in. This person is bad, he cannot come in. So such a person is in sattva, where his 9 gates are guarded, and he's very cautious what kind of knowledge he wants, what kind of movies he wants to watch, what kind of books he wants to read, what kind of people he associates with, what kind of friends, what. So that is called that living in discrimination, where you decide that I'm only going to, does not mean that, you know, you don't hear, you cannot walk around with your eyes, you know, like hear no evil, see no evil, taste no evil, speak no evil. No, you cannot do that. You have to see everything in the world, but as Gurudev says, see the world, but don't let the world come within you. Just because there is a lot of violence going on, a lot of problem, you say, okay, Bhagwan, teri dunya, tu sambhal. You know, it is your world, you take care of it. I will do my best. Wherever I can help, I help. But I do not let the world disturb me too much. Yeah, if I can help somebody, I have compassion, I go and help. But if somebody is dying in Iran or Syria, what can I do? All I can do is pray for them. You know, that's all I can do. So do not allow nonsense to enter. Now, it's the same guard. Now, if suppose this guards, you know, instead of becoming discrimination, say, "Aane do yaar, let my friends come." You know, he will let all his friends come in, whether they are good or bad. And the, you know, people who are not my friend get out, whether they are good or bad. That's how a person is in Rajas, where he says, "Whatever I enjoy, I'm going to do. I'm just going to have fun. Khao piyo, maja karo. Who cares about goodness and badness and all? Whatever good things are coming, let them come. Lot of food, let it come. Drinks, sense pleasures. Yeah, theek hai, aane." So that is called the guard is in. He's not doing his job, and that is called in Rajas. And when we are in Tamas, the guard is sleeping. Absolutely no discrimination, nothing. Not doesn't even know what he has to do. So that is called the city of 9 gates. So you have to decide that how, what kind of guard am I going to put there and how am I going to decide. And then they say such a person is in correct judgment. What it means is that when I'm in a sattvic mood, then whatever problem come, I'm able to see it correctly. Because my intelligence is not clouded, because it is Rajas that is agitated, that, you know, like when your mind is very disturbed and somebody comes with a problem, you say, "Look, my mind is too upset. I cannot think. Come back tomorrow morning when my mind is quiet." Or you are dead tired and you are sleepy and somebody gives you a math problem. You say, "Yaar, kya raatko 11 baje, you know, 11 o'clock at night you are coming with this problem. Come in the morning when my mind is quiet." So when your mind is either in Rajas or in Tamas, it is covered. But interestingly, the very beautiful point about this is that when I'm in sattva, a neighbor brings a problem, I'm able to solve it very well. He's having a big problem with his wife or children or work or job or money. You know, you give him beautiful advice. But then when the same problem comes to you, you cannot. You know why? Because you are then your own attachments come in. You know, my problem is if he and his wife, I can give him very good advice. But me and my wife, forget it. Because then my, you know, my own ego comes in and my own, prejudices and my, you know, predisposition and my all this, you know, all my. Why? Because I have this layer of, you know, problems. So it is very hard to become objective about your own problems. It is very easy to give advice to somebody comes and you tell him, "You know what, this world is all temporary and you are that Brahman, you are that self and problem aati hai, don't worry." But when my problem, oh, you know how big a problem. So then we immediately lose all objectivity. So if you are able to be as objective about others as about your own problems, that is called a person in sattvic, where even when his body is causing problem or his mind or his intellect, if he is able to stay in that silence and watch his own body, mind and intellect, and like a spectator do what is right, regardless of whether it's me or whether it's anybody else. Like our child, we cannot become objective. A neighbor's child, you know, we can tell him. But I should be able to have the same love and objectivity for my child as I have for my neighbor's child. And that is called sattva. And then his judgment is not covered. And such an individual does the right thing. Why? Because he or she has the right knowledge, does the right action at the right time, because his vision is clear. That's what Gurudev always tells us. He says, enter life with a mission, with a vision. So he says, you should have a vision in your life. You should have a mission in your life. You should have a goal in your life. Why am I on this earth? What is my purpose? Why did I take birth? Why am I here? What is the reason I am here? So have that clear vision, and that comes from contact with the gurus and with the mahatmas, that have that right vision, and then he says your actions are correct. Then you do the right thing regardless of whatever the world thinks, whether the world approves or doesn't approve, whether they slap you or they clap you, it doesn't matter. I am doing the right deed, I am doing the right thing, and I am doing it unselfishly, dedicated to the Lord. Whether people appreciate or not, whether people thank me or not, I am doing his work. With that attitude, when you do the work, then such people are the one who make great achievements. If you look at a scientist making any, you know, discovery, like Archimedes when he found that Archimedes principle, or Newton when he found the law of gravity, or when you see Shakespeare, or when you see Kalidas, you know, Kalidas is supposed, actually they said, in one place I read, he says Kalidasa was such a great poet, such a great poet. He says that there has never been anybody in the history of Indian poetry like Kalidasa. So he says when they started counting the poets, he said, who is number one? Kalidasa. Who is number two? Nobody. There was nobody they could count, because nobody was even could be called a poet compared to him. That how great a poet he was. He says number two to hai nahi. There is no number two in that. So that kind of great people, those kind of great achievements are made by these great masters when their mind is in sattva. When a scientist is sitting in his laboratory and in solitude, you know, thinking about the problem, or the poet is sitting alone and sitting in front of nature and composing his you know, beautiful poetry, that is called, you know, that is called in sattva. Or an artist, you know, or a painting, a beautiful painting, or sculptor making, you know, sculptor, you and I, all we see is a piece of stone, but a sculptor has the vision. He says, you know, in this piece of stone I see Sri Krishna, or I see Jesus. He can see that. Why? Which you and I cannot. We say, oh, this is just a, you know, 4 by 6 foot piece of rock. But he can see that. He says, if I chisel here, if I cut here. Why? Because he is in that sattvic mood. You and I probably cannot do that. So all great achievements occur in sattva. So that is the beauty of being in a sattvic mood. That sarva dvareshu, all doors, light of intelligence shines. The right understanding shines. And then his vision is very clear. When he sees something, he knows. He can, it's not like, I saw this, but I don't know what it is. I don't understand. Not like that. His understanding is very clear. His vision is clear. His hearing is clear. His understanding is clear. His mind and intellect. Emotionally, he has the right emotions. Intellectually, he has the right ideas. Such a person is in sattva. Oh, Arjuna, please know that. It's a very, very beautiful description of sattva. And I would again recommend to everybody, you know, you must buy these. You know, it's 18 volumes. It's only $25 or $27. If you go to a movie, you buy 2 tickets and popcorn and Coke, is going to cost you $27. For the price of a movie, you get this count is you know, has no value. These 18 chapters by Gurudev are so beautiful Everybody must have that. And you must read it before you come. I know Barbara reads the verses before she comes. Read the verses before you come or after you go back, because Gurudev's commentary is masterful. And that way you have a concept, because I use this as the basis. And then, of course, I try to get some other commentaries and some other examples. But please, everybody purchase this book. I know they have enough copies in the office. And then that way this is the one we follow. You may have other Gitas. You may say, oh, I have Gita by Radha Krishnan, or I have Gita by Vinoba Bhave. That's very good. You can read it additional. But this is like the course material. It's like when you go to college and you're doing a course, they say this book is like, we go to medicine. They say you have to do Gray's Anatomy. You cannot do anatomy by somebody else, because that is the authority. So here, this is the book we use. So I would request everybody to buy that. And then please read about it. And then that way, this will keep us on the same page. And you will be able to revise. And also, as I had mentioned in the beginning, just go to the website, firstpower.info, and just click on Talks by Dr. Anil Mehta. And all the talks, if you want to hear it again, or you want to hear some previous talks, they are available. So hopefully that will help us. So I want to thank Tony. He does that every week. He puts that on the website. So thank you very much. If anybody has any comments about sattva, sattvic living or anything. It's a very beautiful subject. I hope there are some questions or comments. Yes.
What did you do to get into that mood, sattvic mood? What did you do before driving?
I don't know. I think just by I think it also depends on how your previous day has been, you know, how your thoughts have been, how your sleep was. And it was unusual, but I woke up. Of course, I get up in the morning, I chant the name of the Lord, and I, you know, try to remember at least for the first 10-15 minutes, even when I'm brushing my teeth and all that, I constantly keep chanting. Usually I meditate for about an hour, but that day I couldn't because I had to leave home early, I had to drive. So actually, I didn't even meditate that day. Usually, the meditation puts me in that mood, but Lord's grace, I guess. No, but I think the more more your mind is in sattvic thoughts throughout the day, the what you have thought the day. Also, I have found that as you reduce your work, and Neeru keeps telling me that, last 1 year, I have actually stopped taking hospital consults. I only do outpatient office, and then if my own patient gets admitted to the hospital. So having cut down the hospital, because there are, of course, 9 other gastroenterologists who see hospitals, so the town hasn't lost anything. But it has made my life so much better, because then I'm not called at late at night. I don't have to go to the hospital. My weekends, like, you know, I have, you know, practically nothing to do. So I think as you reduce your work, as you will see in the next verse on Rajas, the more you are working. Like you, I know you have cut down a lot, and I'm sure you are a lot more peaceful since you have cut down your work. And so I think again, not everybody can cut down the work, but at least with what attitude you work, if you keep your mind on the Lord, and then I think how you go to sleep at night, and I don't know, it was very unusual for me though. I usually don't have that. It doesn't last that long, you know, for 2 hours I was. Usually 15-20 minutes after, like when I wake up after I do my Gayatri mantra and all, I sit on my breakfast table, my mind is very peaceful for about 15-20 minutes or so. But this was unusual. So it was, and also again, you know, when you're alone and driving, and it's the I-5 is so peaceful, and there was no traffic 7 o'clock in the morning. The car was just going, I had it on cruise, so I had nothing to do. It was really very beautiful. But yeah, you're right. It's hard to explain. You have any comments about that?
No, I think it's most of the time you are in that kind of a doing so much sadhanas, doing so much
things. I think so, yeah. I think, yeah, it's not only, you cannot suddenly turn off, it's not like a switch. You can turn it on or off. You know, it's not an electric switch. It's your mind needs to be shaped. That's what they say, the mind has to be molded in that direction. Because all the while, from childhood, or from many multiple lifetimes, we have been used to running out. That's what in the Upanishad it says paranti khyani khyani vetranat svayambhu tasmat paran pasyati antaratmana. He says the Lord made the sense organs to look outside, the eyes, ears, nose and the mind and the intellect all the time looking out, and we never have time to look within. We never look within. Na antaratmana paran pasyati, always we are looking outside. So when you get this knowledge, then you start looking within. And once you look within, you know, that's what he says. Moko kaha dhunde re bande, main to tere paas mein. You know, there's that famous bhajan. Where are you looking for me? I'm not in the temple. I'm not in the mosque. I'm not in the church. I'm in your heart as the breath of your breath. So if you want to find me, look within. That's what God always says. He says, don't look for me outside. I am outside. Of course, he is in the trees, he is in the temple, he is in the church. But the closest I am is as your life and breath. So look within. And so the more you turn inwards, the more you get this inner peace and silence. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, thanks.
I guess people that aren't really aware could be in Thomas, but
true. That's what Gurudev always says. The line between sattva and tamas is a very fine line. The person is sitting doing nothing, and he could be either in total laziness or his mind could be very active and thinking and very productive. So we don't know a person just sitting doing nothing, whether he's a realized saint or he's a drug addict in a drug stupor. You know, you may not know that. You're right. So there's a very rajas, you know, okay, the guy is out and he's building something, lifting rocks. Then you know he's in rajas. But whether he's in sattva or tamas, that's an excellent point. Yeah, there's a very fine line. And it's only the individual himself can tell or herself.
You know, when you're rajas too, you're driving.
Yes.
When you start hearing the siren.
Right, right. True, right. And then also you're very angry. You get angry at the person cutting you off. And, you know, I used to be like that. People would cut me off and I would get very upset. And now I say it's okay. I think that's, maybe I'm getting old. I think it's a sign of old age. I don't think it's sattva. I think it's old age where things don't bother you like they used to. No, but really, that's what somebody asked Swami Chidananda one time. He said, how do I know I'm progressing spiritually? He said, when things that used to bother you, if they don't bother you anymore, then you think you are evolving. Bother you does not mean that you become a doormat and let people do anything, but do not get disturbed or agitated by the world. You do everything, but inside have the calmness. But rajas is right. When you are working and agitated and disturbed and angry and honking at people and showing them finger and all that. Next week we'll do rajas and tamas. So we'll talk about how do we know that I'm in rajas and tamas.